pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. It's a UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight, we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Shope went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I was taking a random picture, zoomed it in, and there it was. There was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird,
the strange, the unconscious, the unbaked.
The unbaked.
I'm running out of words.
What have you been doing all week?
We've been doing this for a whole year, and it's hard to come up with new words.
Actually, I think two. I think we're going on 2 years. We started in December of 2016.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, almost 2 years of strangeness. There's a lot of strange stuff. On the phone, our good friend David Ellis of the Olympic Project.
Hi there.
David.
Now, we tried to get you in on Skype. We tried to get you in on that other one, and just not working right now.
Huge technical failure.
I think it's a conspiracy. I think it's a government thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're out to shut down Strange Harbor.
They're trying to keep us off the air.
I believe so.
You know?
It's very strange.
You've come to the right place if you like to talk about UFOs, alien abduction, near-death experiences, ghosts, cryptozoology, things like Sasquatch and Dogman. And have you guys ever seen a Dogman or anything like that?
I have not. I have heard many stories. There's actually a location that some folks do some Bigfooting in, some research in, that had a picture drawn on some rocks of a dog man in the same area that they've had lots of experiences with Bigfoot, which I find kind of interesting. But we don't typically have dog man sightings in our neck of the woods, so to speak.
You've heard stories.
I have.
Like any you can share without naming names?
No, it's just basically the genre back east. It's more prevalent along, I think, the Mississippi drainage. And you're familiar with the Rougarou.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, gosh, it's more than just a physical being. There's some other stuff that kind of goes with it, and by other stuff I mean that it's not just a physical being. There's something else going on. There's some tradition on how one becomes a Rougarou that's kind of interesting, that it's usually through a relative or a friend of some sort. And you have you get exposed to it, and then there's either a biting or some sort of way that it passes it on to you, and you become a Rougarou.
What does a Rougarou do?
I guess it terrorizes the local community.
They call those tweakers now.
I think it has some shape-shifting things going on there, too. I don't want to mix my metaphors. There's because shape-shifting kind of is in the realm of the Wendigo, which again is kind of up north variety of the Rougarou, following the Mississippi drainage.
Wow.
And then there was an area called Land Between the Lakes, which is, I think it's Kentucky, Tennessee border, where there was some very strange happenings a while back, where people were mysteriously murdered.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was not a good sight.
Any paranormal things?
You know, I kind of grew up on that stuff. Back in the 60s, there was some paperback novelists that would write short stories, and you'd get 35 to 40 stories in a little book form that had maybe two or three pages that they'd write on it. But it was all about, truth is stranger than fiction kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which involved a lot of paranormal ghost experiences, time shifts, time travels, time rifts, those kind of things.
Well, that's
that
interesting
I always found
stuff.
Kind of interesting, kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, I like time travel stuff. Time warps and time rifts and
yeah,
that's always interesting.
So, is time travel possible, you guys?
Well, I think it may be possible in not in a necessarily a physical form, although people may think that it manifests in a physical form, but I think that. We can time travel through our minds, if you will. That's kind of hard to explain.
I've talked about that with some folks before, and the consensus is that you can travel forward, but you can't travel backward, because everything in the past is basically written in stone. It happened exactly the way it happened, but because the future hasn't happened yet, that you can actually travel to some future point. But, you know, that was just talk, so we don't have anything to back it up.
Right, but that kind of does make some sense to us. Yeah. If you would be going back in time, you would be interjecting your presence, which wasn't there.
Right. And if you change the past, then you would change the future.
You know, lately I've been experiencing a lot of, like, I don't want to say deja vu, but...
Hallucinations?
No, not hallucinations, but almost like false memories. I don't know if they're false memories or you guys are going to think this is really strange.
No, it's not.
But let's say just an event... But then you kind of remember that event with a different outcome that you were involved with, and then all of the things that went along with that alternative outcome. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I had a weird experience the other night. I like to record the baseball games, the Mariner games, and then I watch them after my wife goes to bed, because... she doesn't care for baseball.
Smart man.
So I'm sitting there, and I got my headphones on, and I was kind of tired. And I'm watching the game, and the Mariners were behind 2-0, and I thought, well, it's like the third or fourth inning, and I think I'm just going to go to bed, and if I'm still excited about it tomorrow, I can watch more of it. But so I went to bed, and I got up the next morning, and I looked at my fantasy baseball. And the Mariners won the game 1-0.
Now, what?
They were behind 2-0. So the next night, now this is the following night, and these are taped daily. I don't keep them very long. The next night, I'm watching the game, and it's like the third inning, and the Mariners are behind 2-0. Same way it was that I saw what I thought I was watching the previous night.
interesting.
So I was, I don't know if I was saying something forward in time or if I had just recorded the wrong game or something. I don't know, but it was really bizarre, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, there were X number of games during that time, and I know they won 2 out of 3, so.
Can we back up just a little bit about your experience when you first started talking about it? You were watching it, and did I catch you say that you were a little bit sleepy or groggy?
Yeah, I was a little tired.
Okay. Well, here's what happens to me usually when there's a deja vu experience. I remember it from a dream that I had. And the dream can be a year ago. It can be last week. It could be 15 years ago. But I remember seeing the deja vu experience in a dream. So I wonder if you slipped into a REM state and precognitively tuned into the next night. And that's how your memory was there.
So I actually saw into the future.
Yes.
Yeah. That's possible, I guess. I it was just very strange. And it was kind of confusing and disorienting. The next day I went and looked, and I found that they had won the game 1-0. I knew they lost Monday's game, and I thought they were behind 2-0 in Tuesday's game, but they actually won it 1-0. So that it just was so strange. And then I'm watching on Wednesday.
Whoa!
Is that deja vu?
Is that a meme?
That's what happens. Got a little feedback loop.
Yeah.
Is that my end?
Yes.
Yes.
You gotta turn the speakers down or something. Are we on speakerphone?
How's that?
What did you do different? Because it wasn't doing that before.
I didn't do anything.
It's the government.
It's the future. See, we're actually talking in the future. And it's going backwards.
Well, it sounds like my better cut out here.
Now, wait a minute. I called your cell phone. Why is your cell phone doing this?
I have no idea.
Turn your computer off. I'm wondering if you are still logged on near your computer with Discord or Skype.
Well, remember, those audios don't work.
I know, but if they're set up and, you know, maybe something just suddenly started to work or something, does that make because now you're okay. Getting all echoey.
So,
there.
How is it now?
Better. Okay, are we ready?
Okay, I turned off my laptop. which seems to be the source of my consternation these days.
Yeah, anyway, what were we talking about?
About this falling asleep and seeing into the future, so that you think the present is the future, and then the past becomes, or the future becomes the present.
So, do you think that all these different weird deja vus, where I could have sworn I experienced an alternative outcome of an event, you think that could also be I dreamt it? I didn't actually have an alternative kind of dimension?
Good question. Possibly. The memory is an interesting thing, and I think that science is learning more and more about it as we tend to delve into things differently than we did 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I think with maybe a little bit more of an open mind. But now there's some sort of a relationship that they're studying with DNA being passed down from generation to generation, where I'll use the term instinct because we're familiar with that with animals, where they know how to do things automatically.
And, yes,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of why is that? Well, it's they're now learning that there's more in the DNA code than just genetics. They think that there is some memories And so you may be able to have some memories from, generations 300 years ago.
Well, you know how they say, oh, well, that stuff there's junk DNA. And I was under the impression that, like, nature doesn't create junk.
No, there's no use for it.
So why would there be this junk useless DNA? We just haven't figured out
the
use. If
it was just bits and pieces of old junk DNA, how could you remember such details?
Let me share some things about time and UFOs.
Okay.
The Antarian connection. Mm-hmm. And according to the Blue Planet Project, time is one of the most important aspects of the UFO thing. It plays a strange but significant role. Now, part of the answer may not lie in the stars, but in the clock ticking in front of you. The planet Earth exists in three dimensions. We can move in many directions within these dimensions. Space does not exist except when we make it exist. To us, the distance between atoms in our matter is so minute that it can only be calculated with hypothetical measurements, yet if we lived on an atom and our size was relative to its size, the distance to the next atom would seem awesome. There's another Earth's man-made measurement called time. Unlike the other three dimensions, time has us seemingly trapped. Time becomes very real to us, and it appears that we couldn't live without it, yet doesn't really exist at all. This movement exists to us. Does this mean the same moment is being shared by other planets and other galaxies?
And other dimensions.
The UFO phenomenon does seem to be controlled. This means it does follow intelligent patterns. If the object themselves are manifestations of higher energies, then something has to manipulate those energies somehow and reduce them to the visible frequencies for human patterns. But they take forms which seem physical and real to us, and they carry out actions which seem to be intelligent. Thus, we arrive at the source. The source has to be a form of intelligent energy operating at the highest possible point of the frequency spectrum. If such an energy exists at all, it might permeate the universe and maintain equal control of each component part. Because of its very high frequency, so high that the energy particles are virtually standing still, the source has no need to replenish itself in any way that would be acceptable to our environmental sciences. It could actually create and destroy matter by manipulating the lower energies. It would be timeless because it exists beyond all time fields. It would be infinite because it's not confined by three-dimensional space. Perhaps if we're in a pure energy state, each particle of energy would itself serve as a synopsis and information could be stored by a slight alteration in frequency. All the memory fragments of a rose, for example, would be recorded at one frequency, and the whole energy form could tune into that memory by adjusting frequencies, as we might adjust a radio receiver. In other words, no complex circuitry would be required, no physical body would be necessary either. The energy patterns would not need material form. It instead would permeate the entire universe. Or a multiverse. It could surround you completely at this very moment and be aware of all the feeble impulses of low energy passing through your brain. If it were so desired, it would control those pulses and thus control your thoughts. Man has always been aware of this intelligent energy or force. He has always worshipped it. God, universal being. So our first conclusion is some UFOs originate beyond our own time frame or time cycle. Our second conclusion is that the source has total foreknowledge of human events and even individual lives. Time, space, and space are not absolutes. Any of that make sense?
What does to me. Yeah. When I had my first full out-of-body near-death experience, when I was being told that I had to go back, I was also told that when I return, I would return at basically the same time that I left.
Wow.
So even though that was 50 years ago, Earth time, when I go back again, it'll basically be pretty close to the same time I left.
Wow.
So, and I've had a couple of other near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and one that lasted a long time. I was in a coma for a week, and it was timeless. I mean, there was no time. There was, and yet there was. There was a movement of growth, of development, and a maturation process. But it was at a different rate than it happens here on this planet. So time out there in the universe was very different. And my conclusion is that when a spirit enters the body and comes here to learn, we think, why would some spirit enter our body for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? But yet, to the spirit, you know, that's an afternoon jaunt. It's not a very long time at all. So it's relative. Yeah. The time is relative. David?
Yeah, I'm just trying to absorb all of this. The whole process of what you were describing as you were saying it, I kept thinking, well, this certainly fits the concept of God, which is, all being on many different planes, the source of energy. And I think that what we see with UFOs could be something more along the line of interdimensionality travel rather than something that is coming from what seems to be, you know, a bazillion light years away. That possibility seems less to me than something that is shifting from one dimension to another. So I guess then maybe I kind of fall into that camp.
I think it's a good camp. I think
so. I can tell you when my first very strange experience happened. I was about three and a half years old. We had just moved to Aberdeen, Washington, and
did we lose you? I think we lost David.
I wonder if UFOs showed up.
They snatched him right
up. Abducted him.
Took him into another dimension.
Well, it's break time, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. Is this the government interfering with our show? Is it aliens? We're going to try to figure this out on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, like UFOs, alien abduction, Sasquatch, ghosts, near-death, conspiracies, all that good strange stuff. And earlier, we've been having problems with the show all day, and I had suggested maybe this is one of those government conspiracies where they're trying to keep us apart, not get the message out. And we lost David Ellis, who's on the line with us today. We're trying to see if it was government conspiracy, if it was UFOs abducting him. We weren't quite sure.
Sorry about that.
So you weren't abducted by aliens?
No.
Okay.
No, I got a phone call. and I tried to disconnect it, and I disconnected you guys.
Well, the audience is going to be very disappointed because we told them that you'd been abducted, so.
Well, we can go with that.
I think and Art Bell did that once.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Art Bell passed away recently.
He did. I didn't know about that.
He was a staple for me for quite a while. I just thoroughly enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't believe all of it, but it was so entertaining one had to listen.
Yeah. Another, he's passed away a few months now, but John Bindernagle.
Yes. Losing some good folks.
But so there are good ones coming up, too. So.
My story about when I was little?
Yes, please.
Okay.
You said you moved to Aberdeen, and then you were abducted.
Our family moved to Aberdeen in the fall of 1955. And somewhere between 1955 and 56, we lived there for almost a year before we moved to Montesano. But we one of the strangest things that happened to me while we were living in that house, I was put down for a nap, being 3 years old. My mom, that's what parents did in those days. I think she just wanted a little free time. So I remember going to sleep, and then I remember coming to, waking up, and there was a window that faced the west in my bedroom, and it had kind of a strange yellowish glow, and that kind of preoccupied my mind, and I was looking at that glow, and then I decided that, you know, it's time to get up, and I remember starting to fuss, and then I heard my mom coming up the stairs, the door open, she comes into the room, and she picks me up, and the next thing I know, I'm starting to wake up, and I relive the whole experience from soup to nuts all over again, and it was like about a three-minute thing. And here I am three and a half years old and, you know, not wondering what the hell is going on. How come I can experience the same thing twice?
Couldn't it have been just the next day and you had another nap?
No.
Huh.
No, it happened. It happened bang, bang. One of those things where it was like starting a record all over again. You heard a song, and then you replayed the song. The whole soup to nuts thing happened exactly the way I saw it, I guess, in my dream.
That's weird.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, very strange. So now you have some sort of an explanation about me.
Yeah, that tells us a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I do wonder sometimes if we have little time slips where we kind of slip through different times, different dimensions of time, just for very short periods. It's not like days and days, but sometimes just a matter of a couple of minutes. And of course that, when we do that, that would throw us completely off. It was like my baseball game. I couldn't figure out what day it was simply because things had, you know, changed somehow. Something had gone awry in the whole time sequence. So I'm wondering if that could be, something that happens to a lot of people.
I think it happens more, but society reasons, most people are not encouraged to talk about it. So most people won't tell that story I just told about themselves. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's happened to, or something of similar sorts of happened to people before. Very strange and mysterious place at times.
Well, we tend to stigmatize people that talk about this kind of stuff, and, you know, we call them crazy and nuts, we put them down, and we take away their credibility. We try to take away their credibility because we want everything to be in a what we call a normal pattern of life. And yet,
right,
there is no normal. I mean, It's we create our own normal.
I would agree with that.
Planet X.
Where?
Have you heard the latest on Planet X?
I keep hearing, and I've heard since my first knowledge of Nibiru, I believe, is Planet X.
Correct.
Through the Art Bell scenario. I had never heard about that theory before he started talking. I think it was Zachariah Sitchin that talked about the cuneiform that, and his translation was that there was this Planet X. So it just is interesting to me that if it is out there, it seems that we just can't find it.
Well, apparently the ancient Sumerians wrote about the planet Nibiru, and the beings from it were their gods, considered their gods, and were the ones that genetically engineered us.
Correct.
And placed us here. Now, some believers are convinced it's making its way from the outer solar system inwards, where it will wreak havoc on Earth as it passes at about 4 million miles away. And didn't we have something fly by, I think like an asteroid or something, that came within 4 million miles?
Yeah. Well, we had a meteor that entered the atmosphere and exploded 14 miles from ocean shores.
Well, yeah. We had Joe Hauser on talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one rattled my house.
Did you hear or feel anything from Whidbey Island during that time?
No.
You would have been driving home when that happened, I think. If you left on Sunday. Did you leave on Sunday or Saturday?
I left on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I think it happened Sunday.
Yeah, think so.
Sunday night.
Yeah, it was like 9 o'clock or something.
I would have been home, and no, I didn't hear anything. One would think that I might have been able to hear it, but who knows with acoustics and
your dogs,
the Olympic Mountains too.
Yeah,
may have like there's a rain shadow. Maybe there could have been it could have been muffled.
Where I live is right out on the very tip of the Ocean Shores Peninsula, and there was a flash of light and an explosion that rocked our house. And at first, you know, I thought maybe it was an explosion on the beach, or the fishing fleet goes right in front of my house to go out to the ocean to fish, and sometimes the boats have problems, and I thought maybe one of those fishing boats had blown up or something.
Oh, yeah.
It took about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours before we actually found out that it was a meteor. And it was quite a large one. They said it was about the size of a minivan.
So, any UFO sightings down your way?
Hold on. Hold on. I'm waiting for Bill to turn off his ringer. Between all of the technical issues we've been having today, I think it's a sign.
It's a sign, yeah. All right.
It's a sign from God.
It's a sign that we're strange and weird.
We'll get it fixed.
Let's see, UFO sightings. Now, our website pulls sightings from all over.
Mm-hmm.
UFO sighting in Sophia City Province, that was a couple days ago. South Dakota, Newell, South Dakota, not too long ago. Daily, just their sightings reported. Now I have to rifle through them to see if there's any like local yokel ones. UFOs Northwest, our good buddy Bill Puckett, his website is pretty well organized, where you can go on there and check out by state, which is exactly what I'm doing right now. Let's see, Washington State, Mattawa, Auburn, Kennewick, Puyallup, Arlington, Fife. These are just April. Orondo, Arlington, Wenatchee, Mukilteo.
Oh.
That's near you.
Yeah, what's that one all about?
Well, here is the report. I was with my friend walking outside to get some food near my place, and it was a very clear sky. It was dark outside. The moon was like a supermoon. We were amazed at how cool it looked outside. While we were walking, my friend was looking up, told me he saw a bright white floating orb or light floating in the sky going fast at one point, then slow at another. I thought he was joking and went inside the food place to get food. After we finished eating, walked out, looked up. I saw it too. It had no blinking lights, as you would see on a plane passing by. It was dead silent, floating around our area, and we were freaking out.
Interesting.
You know, and... You know,
what's interesting about that story to me is they walked into a food place, ate, and then walked out and was still around.
Yeah.
That's weird.
You know, could it be a drone?
Well, you know that Boeing is right there.
Yeah.
Big plant, huge facility. So who knows? Who knows if what we're working on or you know, where we're going with this stuff.
Bill, are you looking at anything?
I was just trying to look up some stuff, but I'm not. It's not important.
Why not?
I don't know.
Is your phone working?
It's working. I was just sitting here playing on my phone.
Oh, so. You were playing video games.
Space Invaders.
Okay, so here's Kennewick, Washington. I usually work a late shift, ride a bike home from work. Tonight, I left my work at 9 p.m., headed west toward home. I noticed a bright, sort of orange-colored light low on the horizon to the west, slightly north. At first, I assumed it was a plane, as it was too bright to be a star or a planet, though I thought the color was odd for a plane. I also saw no flashing lights. As I continued toward my home, I noticed that the plane didn't seem to move. It was still in the same position as when I first saw it. Takes me about 20 minutes to bike home, and all while I'm watching this light, not seeing any movement from it. It did seem that it may have been getting lower in the sky, but I'm not sure, but it wasn't any closer. Just before reaching home, I got off the bike and just stood on the sidewalk and watched this thing. It appeared to be pulsating and changing colors, but still not moving in any direction. I reluctantly stopped watching and went into the house after that. If I had a car, I would have liked to chase after it and try to solve the mystery. This is not the first time I've seen strange things in the sky after leaving work. Unfortunately, I didn't keep a record of the others, but certainly will from now on.
Wow.
And according to Bill, there was no bright celestial bodies like the moon or Venus visible at the time of the sighting. So,
well, interestingly enough, there is another government facility near Kennewick, Hanford.
Oh,
that's
yeah?
That's true, yeah.
Now, what kind of hovering orb things do they have there?
You mean... as far as maybe top secret kind of stuff, or are you talking about maybe something visiting us because of the facility that's there?
Either or, and?
I would probably fall within the camp of something visiting to see, keeping tabs on us, what the hell we're doing or what the heck we're doing. And rather than something being created at those facilities.
Hmm. Aren't there reports of UFOs disabling our nuclear systems and things like that?
Yeah.
Flying above, like, where we have yes. nuclear arms and then, like, shutting off all the power.
Right, yeah.
Well, yes, if we were to believe the people that were there that witnessed it, that claimed that our silos were shut down.
Hmm. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's the Russians.
Yeah?
Yeah, Putin before he was Putin.
Right. But think about it. I mean, if Mexico or Canada or any other country made a craft that could travel like that, I mean, wouldn't they use it to kind of come here and look at what we're doing and spy on us? So maybe what we're seeing are spy craft.
Oh, yeah. The things that have always... bothered me about UFOs is the speed of the craft and the ability of the craft to change directions at that same speed, defying laws of gravity that our human bodies would have to adhere to, that would kill us instantly to be in a vehicle that did those kind of maneuvers.
Yeah, yeah, so, it would be hard to survive that kind of move.
Yeah, and if the description of the grays are accurate, that are those maybe artificial intelligent robots?
Could be. Could very well be. I never thought about it that way.
Well, Daryl Sims, the alien hunter.
Yes.
He claims his theory is that they are genetically created, but they're pretty much robot drones, but of a, what do you call it? Not synthetic, but...
Biological.
Biological.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're like biological robots. No emotions, no anything.
Kind of like the Terminator.
Yeah. I think that that's where artificial intelligence is going to end up, which leads me to wonder back to kind of what I had talked about before is maybe something in the future. Now, this goes against what Bill also said, that they can't, you can't come back.
Well, I don't know that for sure. I just...
Yeah, no, no.
Something we had talked about, but...
We're throwing out there.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm of the... again, I'm of the camp that it's, they're more possibly from the future than they are from another galaxy, which is just too far away to get here.
But if they sent an artificial... intelligent creature,
robot.
Essentially. Yeah,
right.
Robot. Certainly that, you wouldn't have to worry about aging or temperature changes.
Right.
I mean, they could endure anything, pretty much.
Right. Right.
Or they're using the black holes and wormholes to go hop dimensions to get here.
Yeah.
Cut some corners, and they don't have to worry about it.
But
right?
You know, we already have... robots that are incredibly lifelike and can do a lot of things. I mean, that we have robots that very much look human and can function. I mean, you obviously know they're not because their movements aren't very natural yet. But
well, if we look at how rapidly we have developed through science, the ability to fly, we've gone from the Wright brothers, you know, 110, 120 years ago to landing on the moon 40 years ago. So, and space travel to distant planets.
And it all happened after the Roswell crash.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually...
I'm thinking along the lines of cars, too. I mean, if we're talking about where we are with artificial intelligence and robots today as a marker, think about, you know, the Model T and a Formula One racing car. So, you know, over that very short span of time, we were able to go from, you know, something that chugged along to something that can, you know, really rip along.
Yeah.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah, probably in the last 70 years. I mean, we've made incredible strides in technology.
Right.
And 70 years is a very short period of time.
And it is almost like it's logarithmic. You know, it's the speed with which things are happening
seems
to be getting faster and faster and faster and faster.
But the new computers haven't come out yet, so... And we're waiting for the next version of the iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to get that. Never mind. I'm not gonna.
I upgraded my phone. I bought a new phone that's about three generations newer than my old phone. But it's not the latest one. And what amazed me is that I can't really tell that there's all that much difference. So, other than the size of the phone, it's a little bigger, and it's a little faster, but it doesn't really do all that much more. So I'm wondering if our rapid advances in technology are just not happening as rapidly as we think they are.
Well, it used to take you 30 years to go across the country, so...
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it took quite a while. I don't know if it took 30 years, but, you know, people had traveled by wagon train and horseback and such.
Some people would die on the way.
People would die on the way.
Some would be born on the way.
Some would be born. And, yeah, I mean, it would take quite a long time. When the Pony Express came, you know, they could move the mail cross country in a matter of, you know, a couple of weeks. But still, that's slow compared to where we are today. I mean, I can drop a letter off at the Ocean Shores Post Office, and in 2 days it can be on the East Coast. So, I mean, that's pretty quick.
Or you could send an email and it'd be there in 2 seconds.
That's right, almost instantaneously.
Well, that'll do it for this fiasco of a show. David, thanks for hanging with us today.
Yeah, you bet. Have fun. I'll be more prepared next time on certain topics.
Yeah, you will. I mean, what? I know. No. I'm kidding.
I might even bring some examples or something. You
ooh,
never know.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Yeah.
Show us some pictures.
There you go.
On the radio.
Right.
Yeah. Mental pictures.
If you'd like to hear our archived shows or subscribe to our iTunes, yell at Bill, email David, spam, you go to strangeharbor.net. That's all I got.
That's all you need.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
This is Derek Randles of the Olympic Project. If you have an interest in Sasquatch, the research we do, or upcoming expeditions, log on to olympicproject.com. There, you'll find some of the data we've collected, photos from our trail cameras, audio analysis, and information about the Olympic Project. Learn about wilderness survival, research data collection, and some of the techniques we use in the field. Log on to olympicproject.com.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.